25, time to make it happen. How's everybody doing? This thing's kind of high for me, but I'll just stand behind it. Let's try it again. How's everybody doing?
Good.
Excellent. So we've got some folks going to go do some work afterwards today, so that's a great thing. So if you've got the afternoon free and can head down toward, where are we going? Henryville? Head toward Henryville, get in touch with that group afterwards, leaving around 12:30-ish, is that right? Okay. Excellent, very good. We are in a time of Lent. Anybody doing anything for Lent? Anybody give up anything for Lent? So we've got a few hands, so we're at least somewhat as a community aware of this time. So Doug talked to me a few weeks ago and said, wanted to know if I would talk about kind of some events in Jesus' life that happened prior to this big final week. So we're going to celebrate in a few weeks, we're going to celebrate that final week, which starts with Sunday, with Palm Sunday. And then we're going to have a Maundy, I don't know how you say it, Wednesday. So we're going to have a Maundy Thursday celebration, a Good Friday celebration, and then a Resurrection Sunday celebration. And every time today I say Easter, if I do instead of Resurrection Sunday, someone correct me. So that's a good habit to get into, I think, to kind of twist that around and wake us up. Anyway, so Doug said for me to think about getting into these teachings, into the events that Jesus did leading up to that final week. And one thing that I found is I love these movies where the movie starts off and you're in a scene, and then all of a sudden they do the flashback gig, right? And so then they back you up to some period of time. And some movies, they bring you back, and at the end of the movie, you arrive back where you started. Sometimes you'll arrive back at that point somewhere in the middle of the movie. You guys know what I'm talking about? All right, so I kind of had that happen with this study a little bit because I became really intrigued as I was digging through about reading in John about an event that occurred right after the Last Supper. So that's the Maundy, however you say it, Thursday deal. So right after that, I got really intrigued in John about some things that Jesus said, and particularly about a prayer that Jesus said. So I want to start off talking a little bit about that, and then we're going to flash back, and we're going to talk a little bit about the events, and we're going to see how this all ties together. So you guys good with that? All right. And my screen's a little out of whack today, so it's a little squished. So just cut me a little grace there because I couldn't make it work the other way around. So let's just read this first. I'll read it, and you can read along with me. If it's too small to read, it's John 17, verses 13 through 18. You can grab a Bible. So this is Jesus actually saying a prayer. So this is Jesus acting just like we would act as we talk to God. So you have to think about him, in this case, being a human, talking to God, okay? So he says to God, God, I am coming to you now. He's talking about, I am at the end of my time here on earth. He says, God, I'm coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they, meaning the people around him, particularly the disciples of his, he says, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them. For they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. My summary of this, and what really stands out to me, is this idea that Jesus is saying, I am in the world. I am in it, but I'm not of it. I'm in it, but I'm not of it. Now, I think that we struggle with this. I'm convinced that I struggle with knowing the difference. We oftentimes talk about wanting to be people like Jesus. We use Jesus as our model, and we say, you know, Jesus was everywhere, and he was in the world, and if he were in Columbus today, you know, he probably wouldn't even be going to the church. He'd be going to some bar and trying to convert people. You know, we kind of talk this kind of lingo. But I think we get really confused about the difference between Jesus being in the world and Jesus not being of the world. Let's go back and reread this. And I want you to really think about the kind of the difference he's driving at. He says, I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. In it, but not of it. What's the difference? Do you have any ideas? It'll jump out to you. How do you be in something and not be of something? What about, like, let's say you're back in school. Anybody in the band in school? All right. So if someone says, I'm in the band or I'm a member of the band, it's kind of the same, right? I think it is. What's the difference? In the band, of the band? It doesn't really mean that much difference, right? It's kind of confusing. Do what? You think so? Oh. Depends on the band. So it depends on which band, maybe. Okay. I'm getting ready to travel next week. I'm lucky enough to get to go to France, which I'm looking forward to. So when I get to France, I'll be in France. But I won't be of France. Not that I'm opposed to that. Don't get all wound up here. But I'd be in France, but I'm certainly not a citizen of France. So in that case, it's kind of obvious the difference, being in and being of. What about an organization that maybe you don't resonate with? So let's say you're a reporter, and you find out about a Ku Klux Klan meeting, and you want to go be involved in that meeting. You go to that meeting, and they allow you to be in the meeting, because for whatever reason, they allowed that. You'd be in the meeting, but that's dramatically different than being a member of the Klan, right? Very, very different. Being in, but not being of. When I think about it, I really think there's a directional issue here that we've got to kind of dig into. When you're in something, you are actually in it. You're inside it. You're within it. But when you're of something, it is in you. If Jesus is in the world, he can be in the world and not be of the world, because the world is not in him. You guys get it? Being in it, but not being of it. All right? So when I think of being in and not being of, I automatically think of atomic fireballs. Right? So, now this is somewhat coincidental, but I have atomic fireballs. So if somebody would like to, Dalton or somebody. Anybody want an atomic fireball? All right, they're coming. No, I don't know. Okay, so run those around and give them to everybody that wants them. So atomic fireballs, being in but not being of. So I got to thinking about atomic fireballs because they are not the world's best candy. They're second. Because everyone knows the Star Mint is the world's best candy, right? Anybody? The lemon drop ruins the roof of your mouth. You know, if you suck on it, messes it all up. Yeah. But the Star Mint, it's an after-dinner mint. It's a candy. It's an afternoon snack. It's everything. But the fireball is right behind it. So I started wondering about a fireball. And I'm not the best videographer, but I thought, what if I put a fireball, a hot, spicy fireball, in hot water? what would happen?
I want it bigger.
So there's a fireball. I've got it in a little clip thing, and I put it inside water. Now, it looks a little blurry. That's because it is a little blurry, because I didn't really know what I was doing. But it'll get better in just a moment. Come on. Just give it some time. I've got 4 minutes of this, okay? So there we go. Is that cool or what? Are you guys not impressed? This is awesome. Look at that. Look at those strings coming out. Is that not impressive? Man, you guys are a hard sell. The idea of being in and not being of. What do you think about the fireball being in the water? It's definitely in the water. Is the water in the fireball? Not really. Okay. What's happening to the fireball? I shook it a little bit there. Did you see that? That was a little theatrical addition I put in there for you. It's dissolving, right? Exactly. What'd you say? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, absolutely. Actually, I gave up sweets for Lent, so I can't have a fireball. So, kind of a bummer because I really love them. Look at that baby go. Look at the bottom of the water down there. Thank you. Man, somebody, even though I know you're being completely honest with me here. So the fireball is in the water. What about the water? Is the water in the fireball? No. Is the water of the fireball? It's yes, no. Uh-oh. She's kind of, wait, Matt. Is it hot? Are you having trouble with that? What's interesting, I got 4 minutes of this, so we'll just keep it going. Is the fireball changing as it's in the water? It's certainly changing, right? But if we were to pull that fireball out at any point, or even while it's in there, and we start trying to describe, oh yeah, do you see that? Look at that. Oh! Go. Woo! No, but it smelled so good I wanted to. It did. It smelled, it was so peppery smelling. What do we call it? Cinnamony smelling, yeah. It was hot water, yes. Oh, look at that. Some stuff floating. So, if we were to pull the fireball out at any point in time, would it still be a fireball? Yeah, it's changed, right? It's a different kind of fireball. It's a little bit worn away, but we're not going to call it water, right? Nowhere close to that. But now if we pull the fireball out and we look at the water sure is somewhat like it was because it's water. But if you taste it, is it going to taste like water? No, it's been dramatically changed. You guys, anybody, you got enough? You want more? Okay. I'm not going to show you this, but I did leave it in there, and I will tell you in a moment here what it did, but it was pretty exciting. All right. So the question I have for you is Jesus an atomic fireball? My goodness, that was a fast answer. You didn't even think about that. You can't say something like that without thinking about it. Is Jesus an atomic fireball? What do you guys think? We had one fast yes. Brandon. Yeah, thank you. As I watched the video of the atomic fireball, I kind of can see that. I can sort of say, yeah, like Jesus being immersed in the situation, and when he leaves the situation, when the fireball comes out, the situation looks a little bit like Jesus. It smells a little bit like Jesus. It tastes a little bit like Jesus. But fireballs are hot, right? Like, these are pretty good ones, I think, right? Because Savannah couldn't choke it down. She went for it. She finally spit it out. So they must be pretty decent. I want us to think about some examples of where Jesus was a fireball. Jesus clears out the temple back in John 2. You guys remember this story? So Jesus comes to Jerusalem. In fact, I always laugh. What's the most, like, the most vivid memory you have of Jesus clearing the temple? Brandon, who? What was it, like 2 or 3 years ago, Brandon makes a whip, this little, like, it was like a little mini whip, right? And he had these little people up here, and he was beating them around like this picture, knocking them all over the place. It's so funny. As soon as I looked this up, it made me laugh as I remembered that. But I've always had trouble with that story, right? Because Jesus is angry, and he turns tables over and stuff like that. He does things that are not what I would expect Jesus to do. But here's the problem, and this is where I struggle being a fireball, is that I think Christianity, a big portion of it is being a nice person. Right? Isn't that what, like, that's what we all kind of picture. Like, if you're going to be a Christian, you got to be a nice person. Like, you could go into the temple and say, you know, folks, I don't think this is the best idea. You know, you might consider changing a little bit, right? But Jesus didn't do that. And yet he wants us to be like him. He's certainly more of a fireball. He's certainly going into the situation and actually forces change in some situations. That kind of makes me a little bit uncomfortable. The result of being like me instead of being like Jesus is that you can start to become a person that doesn't push the change or doesn't push the envelope or doesn't confront the person, but you start becoming a person that says, well, you know, if that's what you believe, that's great. That's great. Not that I wouldn't love somebody regardless. I always love somebody. But where do you get to that point? When do we as a church become a church that is not an anything goes church? Are we an anything goes church? We got one no. Would you guys believe that? I hear that occasionally. People will say, I kind of heard the living room's kind of an anything goes place. Is that a compliment? Boy. Yeah, I don't think that's really the best compliment, is it? Because then there's no absolutes, there's no line to draw. Anything goes church is probably not where we want to be. Are we in anything goes church? I want you guys to think about that. The next one, and this one is a little more interesting for me, hits more home, is Jesus and this Samaritan woman at the well. So they're having a whole variety of conversations about water and living water and all this stuff. But it gets to this point where Jesus says to her, he says, go call your husband and come back. And she says, I don't have a husband. And Jesus says to her, you're right when you say you have no husband. The fact is you have had 5 husbands. And the man you now have is not even your husband. But you have just, what you have just said is quite true. Again, Jesus being a little bit of a fireball. He's not really just saying, oh, you don't have a husband? Well, you know, if you ever had a husband, or hey, you ought to think about this, or just being the nice Christian guy. You know, he kind of comes right at it. He doesn't mess around with it. Guys, to think about these things to ponder as you think about this idea of being a fireball. You think about being in something versus of something. And I really want you guys to chew on this. Where should you, as an individual, not go to avoid becoming of the world? Where are there places where you're going to go in the world, but you're not going to be able to avoid becoming of the world? The truth of it is, we all want to be like Jesus, but we're not, are we? I wish I was. I wish I was the kind of person that I could go into any situation and I could be Jesus. Jesus, I could represent Jesus, and I could push his love and his beauty into that situation that may not have that. But I have to be aware that I'm not Jesus, and I have shortcomings, and I have issues. When I think about the woman at the well, I can tell you what I would do if I came up to that situation and I realized that woman's there and she needs help. What's the first thing I would do, Jill? She says, I don't know. The first thing I would do is I would go get Jill. Now, why would I go get Jill instead of Tuck? What'd you say? So I made a deal with my wife that I... Thank you. I thought that was funny, too. So I made a deal with Jill that I would only in, you know, really unusual situations, ones at which I've talked to her about, will I meet one-on-one with women. And why is that? Because I have seen in the world around me, I have seen situations where that has turned out very, very bad. While I personally, I tell you, I don't think I have an issue with it. I think I'm completely cool and comfortable with it. I've had very good friends that have also told me that they thought they were cool and comfortable with meeting one-on-one with a woman. I happen to have something Jesus didn't have. I've got a wife. And my wife has said she, in those situations, will be glad to help me out. And so this idea about where should you not go to be becoming a part of the world, it's something we really need to chew on. What are the things in your life that you are so convicted to being a part of, and you're so convinced that you can be Christ in that situation, but if you're really honest with yourself, you get into that situation, you realize that you can't be in that situation without becoming part of the situation. Something certainly to ponder. Question there, are you filling your peers, the people around you, with God's righteousness? Are you able to be that person at work, during your hobbies, even at church, that you need to be? Or is it the other way around? One thing I'm going to talk a little bit about next week is something I like to call it groupthink. But it's this idea of what happens to us as we get in groups. What happens when we go to work? Do we all of a sudden get a green light at work that we get to be a completely different person? We're not around our church friends, or we're not around our family friends, and all of a sudden the door opens up that we no longer need to be worried about being an image of God someplace. We're kind of free to that. We can be part of that environment we're in without having to be have really great concern about that. And I think this last one here is, this is a big one. Being in something versus being of something. Get right down to the bare bones. Are you in God, or are you in God and not of God? Are you the person, am I the person, because I have these days for sure, that sometimes I play the game, I have the look, I come here, I put on my happy face, but then I leave, and I go to work and I'm a different person. How many times at work have I seen a situation that I could have easily diffused? I could have easily walked into that situation, heard a few ramblings about Bob over there that everyone's ticked off at, and I could have said, hey, you know what? 2 years ago, Bob did X, Y, and Z for me. I actually have a lot of respect for Bob. I think you guys ought to cut him a little slack. I think he's having a bad time. We don't even know what's going on in Bob's life at home. Let's cut him some slack. But instead, I come in there and I hear that story and I'm like, and yeah, 3 weeks ago, Bob did this to me and then this happened. And I mean, this happened not real long ago at all. And it was, I look back at it and I've really, really had great kind of grief over it, because I went around and spread some really, really negative mojo about a guy at work. And I was sitting at my desk and all of a sudden, a technician that I rarely work with comes walking by and looks over and makes a little remark to me. And the next thing I know, I realize that the thing that I said negative about a guy, who, by the way, happens to be a Christian, shouldn't have said it either way, but, you know, that more about it, I realized the tearing down that I did of that guy had spread throughout the building. Everybody knew about it. Everybody. I suspect the guy knows that I said it by now. How many times am I playing this game that I'm in God, but I'm not really of God? How many times does that happen? I think it happens a lot. We're going to have communion here in a few minutes. You guys go ahead and get ready. We've got some folks that are going to help us out with that. So is Jesus an atomic fireball? Is he an atomic fireball? I think he is, and I think we should be too. I think it's a difficult task. This idea that we should be like Jesus is one of those things that just rolls off our lips. Oh yeah, I should be like Jesus. I should learn from Jesus. But the reality of being like Jesus, the reality of knowing how to walk into a situation and share love in that situation and know that you may get beat up just like this as a result, it's not something that most of us are really all that interested in, is it? Not me. I want to have a good time in life. You know, I want to have fun. I want to do my things. And the truth of it is that if I'm really loving the people around me, there's sometimes I've got to stand up for certain things. And it's not to be a jerk. You know, if I'm just trying to be legalistic and trying to say that my way, it's my way or the highway, that's never going to cut it, right? That's not going to make anybody want to be a part of something. But I don't want to be Jesus, like Jesus, for any reason other than it actually helps. It actually makes things better. His love will make life better. The guy that I tore down at work, the truth of it is that guy's having some problems. And I know he's had some problems in the past getting along with people. And he's having problems at our work getting along with people. And he's not that bad of a guy. I tell you, he's really not. But having me go around and spread that kind of junk about him makes it a lot worse. Makes it a lot worse. So is Jesus an atomic fireball? I think he is. And I think we should be too. We should be too. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to take some time. And I think while you're thinking this through, if there's anything that jumps out to you, I'm going to teach again on this idea of being in the world and not being of the world. We're going to teach on this next week again. If you have any examples that you want to share with me, that would be great. I'd love to hear it. And while you're taking communion, I just encourage you to just really, really go back to these three questions that I had on here earlier. And think on this. Where should you not go to avoid becoming of the world? Where are those places in your life that you so desperately want to push God into, but the truth of it is, you're not strong enough to do it? Do you have those? I think with addictions, that can be a tough one, because oftentimes when people come out of a certain addiction, the first thing they want to do is go back into the addiction to help people. It's a natural thing to want to do, but you've got to be really, really careful to not get pulled back in. When we have communion here in a few minutes, we do that with grape juice instead of alcohol, instead of wine, I mean. Because of the alcohol in it, because we have a lot of people in our community that don't want to take any chance of being pulled back into being a part of the world through having to be introduced to alcohol. And so for us, as a large gathering like this, we'll stick to grape juice for now. Are you filling your peers with God's righteousness at work and in your hobbies, even at church? And finally, are you in God, not of God? I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to turn it over to these guys. God, it's kind of a heavy topic, and it's one I'm real passionate about. God, as we look back and think about Jesus' life, as we prepare for the coming weeks, where we mourn his crucifixion and we celebrate his resurrection, God, we ask that you will help us to grasp what it looks like to live a life like Jesus. Help us to grasp our shortcomings and to understand that Jesus was the perfect example, and we've got to be wise enough to know how to follow him. We've got got to be wise enough to know where our weaknesses are. And God, we have great faith that you can take us through those weaknesses and that you can show us a better way. But we also ask for great wisdom from you so that we'll know where we shouldn't go and what we shouldn't do. God, we ask that we won't fool ourselves with our actions that look like we're in you, and yet in our hearts we're not of you. If being of something, God, means that that thing is within us, that it's inside of us, then we certainly want to be of you. We want to be of Christ. God, we ask that you will be deep in our hearts, deep in our minds, that you will guide us in everything we do. God, we ask that we will be your voice in a world that needs you so much. And God, if we become fireballs for you, we ask that it'll be a fireball of love, not a fireball of hate. That it'll be a fireball that can speak the words that need to be spoken so that people's lives will be improved. So that people can feel your love and that they can walk away from the darkness of the world. It's a confusing thing, God, and I struggle with it, knowing the difference. Sometimes it seems as though if we're really intent on something, that in some way we're not being open-minded, or we're being a person that the world wouldn't want to be a part of. And yet, God, we know when Jesus was here, even though he was killed, people were constantly drawn to him because he just loved them so much. And we ask that we'll be bold enough to be that person, be wise enough to be that person, that we'll do everything we can do to have you centered in our lives and have our lives filled with you. Through Christ we pray. Amen.